And reading again this morning from the Gospel of John, a reading I know that is very near and dear to the hearts of many people. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And when I go, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way? Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, you will know my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak of my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the work's sake. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I am going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. Through these words, God's voice is heard. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, you call us not to worry, and yet our lives are filled with things that challenge us and cause us great anxiety. Help us, O God, to rest in your word and in your promises. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. I want to mention before I begin the sermon this morning that that passage I read is absolutely packed full of theological issues, and of course on what we call Mother's Day in our society, as I was reading it, I noticed how many father images there were in the passage, which was a little troubling for me. But there's also the passage about Jesus being the only way to the Father as well. So I just wanted to mention those things, but I'm going to set them aside because those are for another day. Today we're mostly going to focus on the promise in that passage and the opening words, do not let your hearts be troubled. I want you to think back over the past week. I think a week is long enough. And over that week, have any of you spent any time at all worrying about anything? Okay, obviously I don't have to prompt you to be honest. There's been some worrying going on, hasn't there? Well, if it makes you feel any better, I worry a lot. I was watching Grey's Anatomy the other night. I don't know if any of you know that medical show. And by the time the show was over, I was checking that mole that had changed color and worrying about my cough and a million other things. We all worry, don't we? If you don't, you can just excuse yourself and go have a coffee now because you don't need to hear the rest of the sermon, but I'm guessing most of you will be staying. You know, if you keep track of the statistics about mental health among young people, you will know that worry, otherwise officially known in its most extreme form as anxiety, is becoming more and more of an issue among younger and younger people. It is a serious issue in our society, and very few of us are exempt from its power. And it's no wonder, really. I mean, it used to be that you could keep the children away from the TV if you didn't want them to see something. That's if you owned a TV. And you only got a few channels anyway, right? And most of them were news channels or cartoons, so there wasn't too much to worry about. But now it's harder and harder to protect our children from social media. And let's face it, a lot of what we see is disturbing. Massive flooding, people removed from their homes for weeks, maybe months, some houses washed away by floodwaters. Father convicted of killing his infant son, and that father, a pastor. Full-blown nuclear warfare, which now seems more of a concrete possibility than ever before. There are good, solid reasons to be worried. We're not crazy for spending sleepless nights worried about our future, worried about our world, worried about what will be here for our grandchildren and great-grandchildren to inherit. It seems to me, actually, we would be crazy not to worry. And so this passage from the Gospel of John has become perhaps even more meaningful as we acknowledge that worry and anxiety have taken a firm hold on our hearts and on our society as a whole. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. Now we need to remember that this was spoken to the disciples who understood that Jesus was leaving them, but who had not really grasped the truth about where he was going or why. And so the knowledge that he was leaving and they were staying was anxiety provoking, and rightly so. And so Jesus' words to them were meant to reassure them that he was not abandoning them, that they would indeed know the way to find him, because he would come and take them there, to that place prepared especially for each one of them. That's an amazing promise as we think about the end of our lives. It's a beautiful promise, in fact, that we will be taken home. Home where those who have gone on before us in faith will greet us, but most importantly, home to a loving God who will embrace us and keep us for eternity. And as much as we hate to think about leaving what we have here, I know, we can at least perhaps not worry about what lies beyond, about what is to come. But then, what about right here and right now in our daily lives? What hope or what promise does that passage hold for us? You know, those of us with the high anxiety who choose to spend sleepless nights worrying about everything from the mortgage to the leaky roof to the kids' education to the fragile nature of our precious world. What does it really mean for us to trust in Jesus' words that we need not be troubled, but we simply need to believe in God and in his Son? Well, I know I keep bringing up breakfast group, but once again, we had a really interesting discussion last Friday morning about miracles and about whether or not God intervenes in people's lives to save them from tragedy, to spare some but not others. And to be honest, I think that is one of the mysteries of our faith that we will never solve. While we desperately want to believe in a God who cares enough to save people from devastating events in their lives, we also do not want to believe in a God who allows others to suffer horrific acts of violence and natural disaster. And we know all too well that that happens. So then, what is our hope? What is it about Jesus' words that can bring calm to our troubled souls, not just for our journey to eternity, but for our journey through this world? And is Jesus' reassurance meaningful for us today, or did it have an expiry date, being only for the disciples as they faced their unique challenge of being left on their own? Well, maybe that's just for each one of us to determine. Is it good enough for us to believe not that God can control and change everything that happens to us in life, not that God will take away all pain and worry and care, but that God will be there with us by our side through whatever life brings our way, bringing hope and courage and strength for the journey? You know that feeling of comfort and strength that comes when you're going through something absolutely horrific and you find someone else who has gone through the same thing, and suddenly you feel renewed courage and hope. It isn't that the situation has changed. You still have to walk the same pathway, but the road now seems easier, knowing that someone else has walked it before you. So that's the wonderful promise God offers us. That's why God chose to walk this human pathway in the person of Jesus Christ, so that he would know what it feels like to be abandoned, to be rejected, to be persecuted, to be terrified, to be hopeless, to be full of anxiety. God knows all of that. So I believe God's promise to the early disciples is the same promise offered to us today. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You're not alone. We have no way of knowing what the future holds for ourselves or for our global community. We'll always live with a healthy amount of fear and anxiety, because a mixture of those two things, in fact, is healthy, because it keeps us fighting. It keeps us working together to defeat evil as best we can. It keeps us doing our part as co-creators to make this world a healthy, viable, peaceful homeland for generations to come. But the big worry, the anxiety about the big picture, well, as much as we can, I think we need to put that aside, because that's where God steps in with his promise. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. There are many things in our lives and in our world that we simply don't have the power to fix. And so we need to remember the closing words of our United Church Creed: in life, in death, in life beyond death, God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Let that hope and promise be sufficient for the journey. Cast your cares upon God and trust that you have a faithful companion who walks with you throughout your life's journey. Thanks be to God.